Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern that you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code BROS. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplements that you can only get high on. We're done with that, all right? Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for, whether that's the Mind Magic gummies for deep work and creativity, or the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, but Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get to that perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code BROS. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use the promo code BROS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. I think everybody's favorite show, it seems like within our group on Drinking Bros, which is a private group on Facebook, 110,000 members, 800 subgroups. Clips of the show have been posted over and over and over again, is Letter Kenny.
Yeah.
One of their favorite characters is Squirrely Dan. Welcome to the show, sir. We greatly appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
And it's K. Trevor Wilson, by the way, in real life.
It is indeed.
Obviously. You put a period after K, though, and I'm trying to figure out why.
It's my transplanted middle name.
Mm. It is. Okay. Are we not allowed to talk about it?
No, I've talked about it before. It's a pretty simple story. When I joined the union, there was another Trevor Wilson. So they requested that I come up with a stage name. And I went back and forth with my agent on some ideas. And she was like, you know, there's not a lot of front end initials. There's a lot of, you know, at the time there's, you know, Michael J. Fox, a lot of middle initials.
Yeah.
But not a lot of front end. So she was like, why don't you take the K, throw it up front, see how it works. And, it accidentally turned out to be a smart marketing tool because I'm the only K. Trevor Wilson on the internet.
Yeah, it actually is. Speaking of Michael J. Fox, you know it's not J, right? It was another initial. And he threw the J in there.
It's A.
Yeah, the J was a nod to his favorite actor had a J initial.
Wait, who was his favorite actor?
I can't remember. It was in his autobiography.
Probably James Caan.
Now, his autobiography, he didn't write that by hand, did he?
Probably dictated.
Dictated, but not
not written. Or you know, obviously had a probably a ghostwriter for something like that. The success of this show has been crazy. Like to me, like the last massive show out of Canada that I feel like has been on this level was probably Trailer Park Boys. I'm sure you guys get a lot of that, but man, this show is fucking everywhere right now.
It's kind of nuts because, like, you know, obviously not a lot of Canadian shows end up translating down in the States. And then we're not even on a proper channel. Like, we were the first completely streaming Canadian show. So it was a full-on experiment whether it would work up here. And we did have like the built-in audience from the original web series. So going into it, we already had a couple people that were excited that it was going to, you know, happen. But still, for the most part, most people didn't know about us. And then it just took off like gangbusters. Actually, one of the big things that helped move it was the military. I found out a few years ago, Nathan and I did a show for about 5,000 Allied troops after a 3-month training exercise. And we found out talking to the soldiers there that Letterkenny had been included in like the homesickness packages for the Canadian troops overseas.
Oh, wow.
So they'd get, you know, episodes sent to them on like USB sticks and they'd watch them. And then what would end up happening is they're stationed with guys from other countries. So when they watch all the shows they have, they like trade memory cards with the other platoons,
like swapping jerseys,
British shows, and so it was like we were passed around like it was like Japanese wrestling in the early 90s. It was just tape trading. People were handing off episodes of Letterkenny, and so soldiers would then bring the show home and look us up on the internet. And it was one of the ways that we started to spread in the early days.
That's really funny because so I was in the 82nd Airborne in U.S. Army, and right before I got out, I was the rear detachment commander because our people deployed down to Haiti after the earthquake to help them get that shit sorted out. And all the new people that came in, I had to get them trained up so they could deploy with these guys. And the first thing I did was make them watch the first 7 seasons of Trailer Park Boys. That was the first thing they had to do when they got to the unit. So,
yeah,
it's funny. Like, people, military people love fucked up humor. Not that your guys' stuff is super dark or anything. It has dark moments, but it's just so crazy. And it lends itself, just the style of writing you guys do lends itself to meme and parody, which is great for modern media, right?
Yeah.
Like if you do stuff that's shareable, you're going to fucking blow up if it's funny.
Shareable clips, because your clips have been shared so many times that it was just like, all right, cool. It was finally, you know, buried in my feed every single day. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to watch this show. Because I started with the YouTube version of it. Obviously, you guys moved on to Crave, which I believe is your like Canadian streaming service up there.
Yeah, Crave is owned by one of our giant media conglomerates, Bell Media, up in Canada. And they sort of everything that you guys have on Hulu down there is kind of on Crave up here.
Yeah, and so I believe you guys are on like season 6 or 7 or something like that. I mean, it's crazy how many total.
It's weird. Because it's like how we're contracted versus how they air them. So it's like we'll do 2-3 seasons in a year. We'll do like these like 7 or 6 episode blocks. Mm-hmm. And generally we shot about 2 or 3 of those a year, but then they get released as separate seasons. So the one that we just released is being billed as season 9, but in my contract it's season 5, part 2.
they gotta keep those numbers down on how much you're paying the actors.
Well, I mean, it still goes into syndication after a number of, I think it's, what is it, 88 episodes now instead of 100?
It does, but it's all changed now because of streaming, because a lot of these streaming services want to own them for life.
Mm-hmm.
This just happened with The Office recently, because I feel like your show is very similar in The Office, where fans watch them over and over and over again, like 8 times a piece, and they never get sick of them. They just leave it going in the background. That's exactly what happened in The Office down here in the United States. Finally, NBC Universal was just like, hey, man, instead of selling this to Netflix, why don't we just create our own app and then run it off of there?
So everybody's going to do it.
We're making all the money. Right? Correct.
Like, it's only a matter of time right before the NFL does the same thing. You got to imagine they're going to do that because that's where their real value is. And they're actually, I was watching ESPN this morning. They're going to take a huge salary cap hit this year because of COVID and no fans and shit like that. So all these guys that are free agents right now are fucked.
Yeah.
But I feel like you said this a number of times. It seems like anybody that's got a valuable product that'll draw eyeballs should be looking to make their own shit right now.
And the other part of this is comedy. There isn't a lot of comedy being made in Hollywood right now. So a show like Letterkenny, even though it's Canadian, resonates here because we don't have any comedy here. Like, we're starving for comedic shows that are original, dead serious, that have any form of edge to it. And everybody, like, literally, because you were talking about the military audience earlier, 80% of our audience is military and first responder. Everybody is watching your shows over and over and over again because there's nothing left down here. You know, everything is very, very PC down in the United States, comedy-wise. Comedic films are absolutely dead. So therefore, when a show like yours comes around during a time like this, especially during COVID, man, you just want to sit and laugh and watch something. You're kind of all we have down here in America, which seems strange to say.
We'll take it. Yeah. We'll take it.
Now, you said you guys started out on a web series. You mean you were just publishing on YouTube at first, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't a part of the original web stuff. Jared, who plays Wayne, he created the concept. And in its original form, in its, like, you know, baby form, Letterkenny started off as a Twitter page. It was a Twitter page. Based on a list on Ontario, and him and his buddy would just, like, write off these, like, ridiculous things that would happen to their hometown or that they thought might happen in the hometown.
It's, you know, with COVID and all this stuff, like Zooming people, it's hit and miss. So you're good now, but yeah, it's again.
My headphones cut out for a second there.
No worries. We can still hear. It's fine. Yeah. It's one of those shows that
started off.
Yeah, that started off on YouTube. You weren't a part of that, and then when the new season kicked in, you were hired, and you were. I believe you were actually replacing somebody else that was originally cast, right?
Yeah. So Dan Petronevich, who plays McMurray on the show. Swirly Dan was written for him. Mm. Dan was written for Dan. And he had a couple things happen that prevented him from doing it. He had some other job offers, and I think he had some, like, personal stuff he was dealing with at the time. So he couldn't commit to the role. So they brought me in. I had the next guy to get network approval. And I knew the producers from New Metric Media. They'd approached me years ago. Before about adapting my stand-up to a sitcom. So while we were working on that, they were like, why don't you audition for this other thing that we're developing? And it worked out. And then they created the role of McMurray for Dan to step into, which he's just been awesome at. The McMurrays are two of my favorite characters. And it worked out that way, but it... people did not like me right away. I remember the first, like, when we were leaning into the crossover from YouTube to the series, they put out a teaser of the straight to camera classic Letterkenny problems from the videos from YouTube. And the first reaction to the third hick was anything but favorable.
Really? Were you getting a lot of fucking hate mail and shit?
It was just like all the comments on the YouTube were like, who is this guy? Screw this guy. Why are you messing with a good thing? Why bring in this fucking idiot?
Yeah. Look, dude, people are resistant to change. I mean, I'll relate it to The Office. I remember when they brought Andy on. God damn it. I forget the actor's name.
Ed Helms
who played him. I originally was like, man, this guy doesn't fucking fit in this show. I know who Ed Helms is. And then little by little, dude, his character was great, and I began to love it. And I think that's what happened, you know, to you on yours. Now you've become a fan favorite on that show.
Yeah, no, luckily they warmed up to me. Otherwise, it would have been weird doing 9 seasons being hated.
Yeah, I know.
That'd be a bold move. Like, the just keep the most hated. Like, everybody hates this guy. Fuck them. Fuck the fans, man. Yeah. Fuck them. Yeah. But, you know, the way – I can't imagine McMurray saying butthole, to be honest. Or the interaction between you and Katie. I don't know if that would be a thing with him. It worked out.
The plural thing was something I brought to the character.
Yeah.
When we were you know, sort of doing the early read-throughs, I wanted to do something different from what Jared and Nate were already doing with their characters. And I'd spent enough time doing stand-up in small towns that I'd met about 500 guys who all put S's where they're not supposed to be. And there was something my buddy and I did when we were driving between gigs is we'd do our impressions of the guys we met in the small towns. And one thing that was constant was guys putting S's where they shouldn't be and guys just completely messing up traditional phrases. My buddy Ryan Denis, he'll still message me up when he hears something ridiculous. He'll be like, oh, I was at a small town funeral and there was a guy going down the line saying, sorry for your lost. Mm-hmm. And we'll just...
That's awesome.
So that's where that came from. And I started doing that in the read-throughs and Jared's like, I really dig that. That's kind of what I wanted you to do, but I didn't know how to write it. So keep doing that. And then now that's just one of the staples. Now, like the first few seasons, I'd open the script and I'd have to figure out where the S's were going. And now like the writers come in and they're just,
awesome.
Writing the broken phrases.
Right.
And they're writing the plurals for me and they figured it out. A lot of fun.
Now, I think a lot of people who, before the last, I don't know, year or two, maybe the last 2 years, as the show has really blown up, first got introduced to your character in a certain scene where you guys were throwing a baseball around outside of your house. Now, I would have loved to have been in the writer's room for that, just because I know there's no way that you guys could have written that without laughing the entire time. That scene is fucking ridiculous. Have you seen
it? Jared and Jacob were for the first few seasons, they were the entire writing team. So I know that came from a jam session between Jacob and Tierney, who plays Glenn and also directs all the episodes, and Kiso. And I was full on a Jared thing. He was an excuse to get us all to bring our mitts to Sudbury. I still remember him sending me a text a couple months before we go, and he was like, I wrote a scene where we're playing catch, so get your ball glove out of the garage, start practicing. And when we filmed that scene, that was like, because Jared and Nate had been friends for years, and nothing makes them laugh harder than seeing the other one break in a scene.
Mm.
Like, if Jared starts laughing, we're going to lose Nate, and vice versa. And so that whole scene was just that, like, when we were shooting my coverage, they both had their backs to each other because they couldn't look at each other in the face without corpsing the scene. And we had a lot of giggles shooting that one, I think. The true sign is if the scene's good is if we make the cameraman laugh so hard that he shakes the camera and scraps the whole tape. So I think we might have had a camera shake.
Wow, that. if you're making the camera guy shake, that's good comedy.
It's
right
rare because
really
usually
good.
The crew hates you and they're just like, dude, just finish your job, you fucking
that's
idiot.
That's why you don't hire fans, by the way. Yeah, if you hire fans, you're just gonna sit there and laugh the whole time.
Laugh the entire time.
Yeah.
Speaking of the writer's room, I watch a show like yours, and I am stunned at how much dialogue you guys have to read in such a short amount of time back and forth. I would imagine being a Hollywood guy that's there's not a lot of room for improv. Most of that stuff is probably written. And if you guys fuck it up, one of the actors is going to get pissed at the other because it's just like, dude, we just read off like 8 million lines of dialogue and now you're going to fuck up this scene at the end.
We run the scenes pretty solid. We'll do about like 6, you know, run throughs before we even try it in front of camera. And I mean, the hockey boys, especially the hockey boys will rehearse scenes for days because their dialogue is so rapid fire. And, I mean, the lucky thing is that we are, you know, it's not like they're really complicated shots to reset. Like if we screw up, it's an easy fix. It's, you know, drag the camera back to one and go again. We're sitting outdoors on a beautiful day. We'll take our time. But yeah, it's a lot of verbal gymnastics, and it can be. There's a blooper reel somewhere of Hersey messing up the name Saku Koivu. They kept calling him Seku, and it's like it'll be like we'll get everything right, but like one word will keep tripping up an actor. But yeah, no, it's a lot of practice. And like you know, they let us play, they let us have fun, but we at least got to do two solid takes of it the right way before we get to screw around.
I bet, dude. I'm amazed. Like watching it, like I get anxiety. Like you know, as an actor watching that, going, "Oh my god, if I had to memorize that much dialogue, I would lose my fucking mind." Because again, the pressure of it. If the beauty of Letterkenny is the timing is there, right? So if you don't have that quick dialogue and somebody's not immediately jumping your line to get to the next one. That's the beauty of your show that makes it so different than everything else that you see on television today. However, if somebody fucks that up, my God, man, you've got to go through all of that again.
Yeah. we'll shoot things in blocks to help ourselves too. It's like, okay, get through these eight lines and then we'll move on to the next eight lines.
Yeah. That makes sense.
The trade to shoot around ourselves.
I figured. Something you said earlier, Dan, about the butts hole thing.
Yeah.
Now, I follow you on Twitter, actually. And last night, ironically, because I, you know, we knew you were coming on the show today and we were going to do this interview, you put out a statement on Twitter last night about the butts hole. And if I'll read it to the audience, because if it's happening that much to you, that's pretty fucking crazy. So I'll just read it verbatim here. It says, "I can't believe I have to say this again. I am done with jokes towards myself and especially my fiance about butt stuff. Or does she pay attention to your butts holes? This is disrespectful to us both and will not be tolerated. If you make these jokes, you will get blocked." Are you hearing it that much that you've got to release a statement? Because this already has 2,000 likes. And I caught this last night in real time.
Yeah, no, it's been like a constant thing since that episode aired. And like, here's the thing, I mean, that scene is one of my favorite scenes that we've done. And I get why people like it. But it was like, from like the very first picture I posted with my, you know, now fiance, someone's been making that joke. And it was like the first time it was like, ha ha ha. Okay, I get it. That's funny. My character said that. But this is like, this is my life separate from that. This is my fiance who's not an actress, who's not a public person. This is, you know, just a sweet gal who's, you know, willing to put up with me. And it's like, could we not do that? And, you know, I'd asked before and I've gone on statement and be like, I get it. I love that you love the episode. I get it. But that's just not an appropriate thing to say to someone you don't know. And, it's gotten to the point where it's just like, I'm done with this. Like, it's just classless at this point. Like, you know, I get it. You like my show, but leave my fucking woman alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Rick James, bitch.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I was going to say. It's become. Like, Chappelle told this story right before he fucking peaced out to Africa, actually, where he would just be out with his family, like his wife and two little, at the time they were little kids. And somebody would just walk up to him and get right in his face, like, "Hey, I'm Rick James, bitch."
Yeah.
And then get closer. "I'm Rick James, bitch."
Yeah. Like, over and over and over
probably
again.
Probably not the best thing.
Yeah, but when you're on a show this successful, you're going to get that. I know it probably sucks, though, with you and your lady. What are some of the other things that the fans stop you in the street and quote to you?
I mean, the other one that I get the most is, you know, "That's what I appreciate about you." And That's a lovely one. There's no way where that could be taken wrong. Like, if you got to quote something from the show, at least quote something that's, you know, not going to make my fiance's family go, "Oh, this again?"
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to have to actually marry that woman, and the parents are going to be involved in that whole process. So probably best to at least keep it on the level until then. Right. So they can pay because they pay for the wedding and shit. So, you know.
Yeah. They're going to have to throw down for that wedding. Yeah. How many seasons do you think this will go? I mean, look, Trailer Park Boys, I feel like, has been on for 20 years at this point. I don't see any signs of you guys slowing down anytime soon. Have they talked about it?
You know, we're coming up, we have two more seasons on the current episode order that we're delivering. So we're going back to work in May for on two blocks. And, you know, after that, we'll be, you know, renegotiating, I guess, hoping for a renewal. And, you know, this is a show that, frankly, at the pace that we do it, we can keep doing it as long as Jared wants to. And I know for a fact that Jared would be quite happy doing this for the rest of his life. He has often told me if his only job for the rest of his career is writing and making Letterkenny, he'd be quite happy. So, you know, it's one of those things that either he's going to get tired of doing it or eventually they're going to think we're not profitable enough. But till then, we're going to keep trying to make more episodes.
Squirrely Dan, we got some sponsors who pay for this shit wagon to be on the air. Forgive us, if you will. We got to pay some bills around here. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. 40% off the bundle package when you get the adjustable base right now. There is no better deal on the planet. I can't even shout out the other deals anymore. I mean, that's pretty much the best in the biz. It's January. It's the cold, dark Biden winter. Might as well get a nice, warm bed to sleep in and enjoy our new freedom. Enjoy the unity and everything else. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Today, get mattresses, sheets, pillows, and again, that adjustable base bundle package. When you bundle all these things in together, it gets you 40% off. And as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest with that. So you can couple that deal with this one and get a whole fucking beautiful new mattress set for like $35 a month. It's amazing. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today and then use the promo code drinking bros at checkout. Next up, we got expressvpn.com/drinking bros. Look, if you don't have a VPN right now, you're probably not living your best life, or you've been hacked or possibly raped or something else. You've got to have a VPN that lives inside your computer, inside your cell phone, inside your iPad, everything, because people are trying to hack your shit. And on the flip side, you can hack into somebody else's shit. Man, you can watch ExpressVPN. You can use it to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. That is how I tapped into the very first episodes of Letterkenny up there. I was like, how do I get into that Crave? Went to expressvpn.com/drinking bros, hacked my way in. You can do that from shows all over the world. Like we were talking about, if you're running out of content like the rest of us, go to other countries. There's some wild shit going on. There's a lot of great comedies, a lot of great movies and TV shows that you might not get here. And ExpressVPN helps you do that. You go to the website and they'll teach you how to unblock the content. As crazy as that sounds, they'll do it. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you are and the sites that you want to think that you're located somewhere else. And that's the beauty of it. Open the app, select the location, tap a button to connect, refresh the page to access thousands of new shows and movies. And you're good to go in like 100 different countries. You can watch UK Netflix, Japanese Netflix, whatever you want. And they got some weird shit over there. I bet you they got a bunch of asshole porn over there on their Netflix. I don't know if that's true or not, because I haven't tapped into that one yet. But you can goddamn bet your ass I will later. You can also stream HD with no problem, no lags. None of that shit's compatible on all your devices, including your smart TVs and everything else I mentioned earlier. Go to expressvpn.com/drinking bros. Today to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Go to expressvpn.com/drinking bros today. And again, if you sign up for a year, you get 3 months for free. And I think it's only like $7 a month. What are you waiting for? Go to expressvpn.com/drinking bros today and sign up. Protect your shit. Last but not least, we got Postmates. Come on, dude. It's Postmates, brother. If you don't know what Postmates is at this point, do you live in America? Do you live in a foreign country that doesn't have cars to deliver food and any other items you can think of to your house? Download the Postmates app today. Use the promo code DRINKINGBROS for $100 in free delivery. That's the best. That's the best in the biz. $100 in free shit. Pretty easy. I use it. I got KFC for the whole fucking neighborhood. They treated me like a hero. They carried me around. It was great. They had like a little tiny parade for me just for using my Postmates promo code to get $100 in free shit delivered to me. That's for any new customer who is signing up. Go to the Postmates app. Use the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. $100 in free delivery. Download the Postmates app today. Sorry, Kay. We appreciate you letting us get through the sponsors here. We'll hop back into the show, D'Anthony.
Anybody that's cranking out content like that, don't worry about profits.
Yeah.
If you can draw any eyeballs at all right now.
It's good. Look, it's the same as It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I mean, I think they're on, season 15 right
it's
now?
It's the longest running live action sitcom in history. Yeah. And they're going to continue America, as well. Yeah. Like they all had, I feel like they had their Beatles moment. I don't think it was tumult between the cast members. They just all wanted to do other shit. You know what I mean? And they all did it. And they still did the show, and now they realize they could do both. And they're like, fuck it, we're just going to do this. I mean, if I were them, I would do 30. See, I would go Simpsons style and do this forever.
Same, man. And look, they signed on for three more.
They're already so – I mean, there's so many episodes in. They're past syndication. It's been syndicated already. So it's not like they're going to make that much more money. And they also have – all of them have creator credits as well. The three guys have creator credits.
Yeah.
It's –
The one is married to Dee, so it's
so she's good too.
She's good too.
The only one not getting creator credits is Danny DeVito, but let's be real. He played the Penguin. He doesn't need shit from anybody.
He owns the production company.
Yeah, that's exactly. True. He does, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who are you a fan of comedically? Like, what do you watch these days that you're like, shit, man, that show's doing it right, or this other guy's doing it right, or I wish I could be on this show?
I've been watching, just watching Auntie Donna, and it's funny because I remember those guys from Just for Laughs. But I was in a sketch troupe for years, and we came up with a really weird show. And then you're like, "Oh, there's no way anyone's going to go for this." And then seeing Auntie Donna, it's like, "Oh man, we should have really actually tried to pitch that," because it turns out people will go for it. What was the? I've been actually catching up on Schitt's Creek, which I didn't watch for its whole run because we were in direct competition with them, it felt like, up here. And I finally sat down to watch that, and I was like, oh, wow, okay, they deserved to get those awards they beat us out for.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, man, it's funny you said that. So it just came to Netflix. It was on a channel called Pop down here in the United States. Pop really wasn't a thing. Most of the channels were in SD, like standard definition. So it was hard. And you would hear about this show, Schitt's Creek. And obviously we know the whole cast from Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show and all those guys. And when it came on Netflix about 2 or 3 months ago, people were in for the holidays and all that stuff. And I was like, it had just won like every Emmy there was. In September, and I was like, all right, fuck it, I'm in, I'll give this a shot, but how good can this be, a show from Pop TV? And now I'm hooked on it as well, and I was like, I said the same thing, I was like, oh shit, no wonder what they won all these awards, like, this is fucking great. Yeah.
In Canada, I think Catherine won for Best Comedic Actress every year it was on, and she's a national treasure up here, she could, rob a bank if we just let her do it. And then like actually watching the performance, it was like, my God, she's talented. And I met Dan, a million years ago, standing out on Young Street, and he was a nice guy then, and I'm happy for his success. And then Noah Reed, him and I actually worked together on a movie score, the hockey musical. He went to high school with my sister. Like, I've known Noah for 100 years, and he's a really great kid. So tremendous to see them all have their success. And then every once in a while, Lisa Codrington from our show shows up on Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. That show's a blast. I'm gassing through it now. And I'm a gigantic fan. I feel like all you Canadian comedians know each other. Is it because of the population and how small it is? Or is the comedy circle that small up there in Canada?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it's... when you end up, like, the people who work in Canada work often, like the people like them, so they bring them back. And actually the joke Seth Rogen had when we met at Roast Battles, Everyone has worked with Jay Baruchel at least once in Canada.
That's true. That is absolutely
true. I've
actually
worked with Jay four times. So
if you're in Hollywood and comedy and you're under, I guess, 50 now, and you haven't worked with Baruchel, you probably have missed out on a lot of opportunities, right? Because that dude's in everything.
Everything. He's one of Apatow's guys. Yeah. He's in all of the things, I feel like. But yeah, it feels like all of you guys know each other. Growing up, did you have a sense of like American comics, or were you more towards the Canadian comics, Jim Carrey and those guys?
Yeah, no, we have all of your shows up here. So, we grew up on everything American and everything Canadian. Mm. So, like, yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up on SNL and SCTV.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had it both. You know, we had Kids in the Hall up here, but we also had In Living Color. So we watched it all. Like, a lot of my favorite comics growing up were American. Like, George Carlin is probably one of my big influences. Started my love affair with making fun of language. And Eddie Murphy. I used to memorize Eddie Murphy routines when I was a kid. Ron Delirious were two of my favorite stand-up specials. And I think Brian Regan is probably the best quintessential stand-up you can get.
Yeah, he is very.
Everybody loves him.
Brian Regan is like, he can walk into a room of. I've actually saw him at a theater in Madison, Wisconsin. I think there was 12,000 people there, which is mid-size. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not an amphitheater, but they don't have one there unless you go to the football stadium.
Right.
So it's the biggest place that was there. Man, he didn't swear once, and everybody was gut laughing the whole time. That to me is very impressive.
Yeah, because I don't like clean comedians. Like,
not much.
Even me, dude. Like, I can't.
I mean, it's him and Gaffigan, right?
Well,
Gaffigan in his like, if you go to a small show and see him, he's going to talk a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But if one of his big specials, he doesn't really swear that much.
No,
it's only those two guys.
He doesn't swear. But like for me, like Seinfeld, like I just can't get down on that type of humor because it's not my bag. But yeah, Brian Regan, he's the only one I think that's clean pretty much. And Gaffigan, that's about it.
I can't think of anybody else.
Sebastian.
I remember seeing Regan getting interviewed, and it was like it wasn't even an intentional decision to be clean. He's just not really that dirty in real life. And none of the stuff that interests him required swearing. So
right.
He just, one day he's like, well, I guess I am pretty clean.
Yeah, I mean, but it's that's the thing with everything, with music, with comedy, with acting, with politics. Authenticity is key. If people feel like you're trying to live some false life for the purpose of making money or clout or power or whatever, they're going to dislike you. People hate that shit.
Yeah.
Anytime people see a climber, they're like, oh, God, this guy again.
Nobody
wants to see that shit. And that's a good lesson for any of you out there that are trying to get into the industry. Just be yourself, and it'll either work out or it won't. But it definitely won't work out if you try to be somebody you're not.
Or use your vagina, you know, if you're a woman. Kirill had a great quote the other day on his Instagram. He goes, you ever just look around the house and just say, my vagina paid for all of this stuff here. Like, it got me everywhere here.
Hey, look, that's market capitalism right there, man.
It is.
Big fan of that.
Use
what you got,
and
brother.
And it's true. We never choose a terrible vagina as a wife. Like, you know, not one at one point where you're like, man,
I don't know.
I would choose a terrible vagina. Yes, dude, you'll choose other shit. Like, if she's not doing dishes or whatever, and you're like, but she's got a great vagina, you'll be like, well, I can look past that. I could cook my own meals, you know, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, women probably do more than fucking cook, but I see where you're going with that.
No. But like long term, right? Dude-wise, most everybody wants like a good chef and things like that for.
Cooking in my house, but yeah, you're probably, most dudes aren't like very good at cooking.
No, dude, are you good at cooking? Like, how did you and your fiance meet?
She saw me doing. She actually saw me opening for Ron Funches.
Oh with, shit!
JFL 42 a few years ago, and she started stalking me on the internet. She always gets mad at me when I say that.
Well, we'll clip this and send it to her. Don't worry.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
So she sent me a bunch of messages, and I finally saw one. And she like spam liked all my photos, and I checked out her profile, and we started chatting. And you know, she asked me out, and we hit it off. Yeah, one of those old-fashioned love stories.
Yeah, man meets woman off the internet. Internet stalks the man on the internet,
yeah.
And then wears his skin later on in life. Is she a good cook?
She is a good cook, but I worked in kitchens professionally for 10 years. So a lot of the times I'm in there just out of focus of habit.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of stuff do you like to cook? Are you like a barbecue guy or are you like an actual cook guy?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, my condo doesn't lend itself to a lot of successful barbecue.
Right.
But I got a pretty mean stir fry. I got some fierce chicken dishes I cook up and do a nice goat cheese stuffed chicken breast. That's a popular one in the house.
I'm getting a little hard.
Yeah, Dan. Look, Dan's a big
Parmesan recipe. Guy.
Yeah, I cook a lot. I've got I actually sous vide 4 steaks and 2 pieces of king salmon this morning before I came into
work. Did you really?
Yeah. I didn't eat all of it. Obviously, it's for later. But I like cooking.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah,
it's something to do.
Yeah, you're one of those guys too that you could fit into any American movies, like the redneck down here.
Man. All of my auditions for American movies are like racist sheriffs.
I knew it. I fucking knew it, dude.
You got to know who you are, though. People always say like a woman will compliment me on my looks or something like that. I'm like, I know what I look like. I look like I just stumbled out of a militia camp in the woods. Okay, we don't need to pretend here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's just be real. I got a ginger beard. I got blue eyes. That's nice. But I look angry all the time. Come on, you don't have to fucking fluff me up.
The two of you guys look like you stormed the Capitol a week ago. and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The beauty of it is, I will say this, like in Hollywood with like all those castings and shit, they're never ending. And since everything's going to be super diverse in the future, they're always going to need a racist cop or a racist neighbor. You might work forever because of that, where it's just like, Yeah,
somebody's got to be the dickhead in the movie.
It can turn into something else for you too. So our buddy AJ Buckley was on NCIS New York forever, right?
Yeah,
like 10 seasons or years, some shit. But then he went the next couple of roles he did. One of the most not prestigious, but one of the ones that's so more memorable is the one he did on Justified, right? Mm-hmm. Where he plays a hillbilly, and that hillbilly accent kind of turned him into a Texan on SEAL Team.
Yeah.
So he graduated to an actual human. Yeah.
And then you become that character.
Yeah.
Everybody says if you play the same roles long enough, you actually just become that guy and like, you are the badass.
Like Kevin Costner is becoming his character in Yellowstone right now. He's been murdering people all over the country.
Yeah. He's leaning into the Western theme. Like all of his shit is Western, even though he lives on a beach in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
And that's a true story. Yeah. But like, I remember Ron Perlman back in the day. This is an odd one. Who he ended up playing Hellboy, but he was on Sons of Anarchy for years and years and years, right?
And in real life, he's kind of a liberal pussy.
Yeah, yes.
Well, he was.
He was. And so that's when I knew him. And then once he got Sons of Anarchy, we went out to like a karaoke bar one night and he showed up on a motorcycle and was like wearing a lot of leather and shit like that. And I was like, oh, fuck. You're really living this life now and you've become this guy. This kind of gruff, like, tough guy type of dude. And it's just like.
But why not? Why not
do
that?
Yes, I know. But that show went for years and years. You eventually become that. Like. You know, you might eventually just become a squirrely Dan. It's funny. One of our former co-hosts, Rocco Vincent Vargas, he is on the spinoff show, Mayans. The Mayans right now. And that was his biggest thing. Like, dude, he was like, holy shit, I don't know how to ride a
motorcycle.
Seriously,
he got the part and then he was like scrambling. He got onto our private group on Facebook. Like he said, he's like 110,000 people. He's like, hey, does anybody know how to ride a motorcycle that could teach me how to ride? Because I've got like 3 weeks to fucking learn this shit.
Yeah, so he ended up, taking courses. Yeah. And
oddly enough, it wasn't part of the of Sutter's production company's process to teach them how to. You would think that, or not to teach them, but to like, hey, you guys, you know how to ride, right? Or maybe it wasn't. He was just like, yeah, I fucking know how to ride. Yeah,
that's exactly what happened. It happened to me once, man, because as an actor, they tell you, they're like, hey, man, can you do this? No matter what they say, you always say, yes, I can definitely do that. And then knowing in the back of your mind, you're like, all right, shit, I got to go and fucking learn that. I got fired from a movie for saying that I could surf. And then I showed up for call time, super early in the morning, out in Malibu, and they're like, great, so we're gonna need you to get on that board and go out into the ocean. It was a Beach Boys movie for ABC. It was like a biopic for them, and it was a longboard, and it's super simple like surfing, but I've never surfed before in my life. I go out, I paddle out, you know, and I try to hop up there or whatever. And I'm just thinking they just need like B-roll footage of like paddling out and shit like that. No, they wanted me to ride the surfboard. And once they found out that I couldn't,
Did you tell him or did you try?
I tried.
And then he just fucked it up.
Oh, God. Where's the footage
of this shit?
It was so awful.
That would be gold. I would pay for that. I'd pay $10,000 for that footage right now.
I walked back onto the shore with this fucking huge longboard, and I just went up to the director, and I was like, I'm sorry, man. I lied, and I can't surf. I'm terrible at this, and I'm just going to grab my belongings and go home. And they had to call somebody at a, you know, central casting or whatever to replace it. But it's one of those things where you always go with the lie and then try to figure it out later. Surfing isn't one of those things. Riding a motorcycle, though, you could do it pretty easily.
Yeah, it's like a bike, just heavier.
Yeah.
I mean, I
got cast as a biker and for a show, and I don't ride. And it didn't really come up until, like, the table read. And then someone was like, almost as an afterthought, they're like, oh, do you ride? And I was like, no. And they're like, oh, so we're going to need to get a stunt rider for you? And I was like, yeah, probably. And then that was the only conversation we really had about it.
Did they hire the stunt driver for you?
It turned out the guy that they had on set, who was like in charge of the bikes, pretty much looked like me. So they just put him on the motorcycle in my costume.
After
any distant shots and then close-ups, I just climbed on the bike and held it in place.
You son of a bitch. You got lucky. Yeah, they were doing close-ups of like surfing and shit, and dude, it was off. I mean, it was horrific. It was like a fucking child. It was like a paraplegic on a fucking surfboard, dude. I was everywhere. I was in the water at one point, like I'm waving. The board had hit me. It was a fucking nightmare. I see Captain America poster behind you there. Is that a dream for you one day to do one of those movies?
Oh man, I'd love to be in a Marvel flick. Even if I'm blown up in an opening scene, I'd be quite happy. Yeah, I mean, I grew up a comic book nerd, so who wouldn't want to exist in the Marvel or DC extended universe? I think I could play a good Detective Bullock in the next Batman reboot, which they're probably going to do because that's printing money.
Who played him in Gotham? It's what is the guy's name?
Donald Logue.
He's a great actor. Yeah.
Shit! You look like Donald Logue's brother, kind of, dude.
Right. I could pull it off.
You actually look more like the comic book character than he does. I think, frankly, the comic book character was a larger man, and he's not a big dude.
He's not, but they just redid Batman. They got the emo Batman now with Robert Pattinson as Batman. And then Colin Farrell's playing the Penguin, but you can't tell that it's Colin Farrell. It's a strange one, man. I know they've pushed it for COVID, so it's gonna be a while, but I saw the opening trailer they released online. I can't get behind that shit. I don't know where you're at with that.
There's so many roles for fat dwarves out there. And I just think it's really mean to give that part to Colin when there's a portly man of reduced stature somewhere that really needs the work.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not a huge petition online of like, you should really get overweight people to play the overweight people and all that other stuff. Because that's next. That's coming. Yeah, but when I saw the trailer, I actually thought it was Richard Kind. I did not know it was Colin Farrell, and then somebody had to freeze frame it.
I'd love to see Richard Kind as the Penguin. That would be amazing.
It looks like him. If you slow down that trailer and freeze frame the Penguin, it looks like Richard Kind.
He's got the face for it.
Yeah,
Colin Farrell does not have the face to play Penguin, and that's probably a compliment to Colin Farrell, and not a compliment.
He's
to Richard
a great
Kine.
Looking man
yeah,
in real life.
Richard Kind looks like the fucking Penguin.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He doesn't even need the nose appliance, probably.
No.
Maybe a little bit, but not like, come on,
not a lot. Yeah, fuck. If there's anybody born to play the Penguin, it was Richard Kind.
Well, it was
Christ's
Danny
sakes.
DeVito. Let's be real.
Well, both were equally great in my opinion. Has there been one recently that you were just like, man, I can't get behind that?
I still haven't seen all of the DC ones. I haven't seen Aquaman or Justice League yet. And there's almost too much complaining going back and forth about Justice League. which cut is the right cut and all that. And I still haven't seen Wonder Woman 84, which hasn't been getting the best reviews.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to checking out WandaVision. That looks trippy as hell.
You know, I haven't seen that trailer yet. I've seen the teasers, though, for the Zack Snyder cut, where it's going to be like 4.5 hours of the Justice League movie. They keep teasing that, and I guess Batman drops the F-bomb in it, which is Affleck in that movie. That's just Affleck in real life. That guy curses like a sailor like us. So were you stoked on Affleck as Batman?
I had no problems with Affleck as Batman. You know, he's got the look. He looks like he could be a millionaire who sneaks out of his house to fight crime. And he's at the right age too to play kind of a senior superhero.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and he's
he still thinks of him as Good Will Hunting, but that was a long time.
Right, right. Now he just sneaks out of his house to buy drugs and smoke cigarettes, I think.
Correct. Correct. And he just broke up with his girlfriend a couple days ago.
Oh, so he's off the wagon.
Ben, I don't know. Ben's gonna be back on. I like Party Ben. I'm a huge Affleck guy on drugs and alcohol. The other shit I just don't get behind. When Affleck is really raging his hardest, like full cocaine, full bender, that is my favorite Affleck. Everyone knows that about me. I fucking love that Ben Affleck. Banging Playmates, then crawling over to Jennifer Garner's house to have her drive him to Jack in the Box at 3 a.m. like to beat these fucking hangovers. Gambling all night in Vegas. I love that Affleck. Then you see like fucking Pattinson take over for Batman. And he refused to work out because he said he didn't want, you know, to leave a stigma for people to feel like they had to work out to play Batman, which is a superhero. And it's just like, bro, fuck off with all that shit.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you're never going to be able to top Christian Bale and then Ben Affleck, because they are two very waspy. They're Bruce Wayne. Both of those guys in real life are Bruce Wayne. You know what I mean? They're not billionaires, but if they were billionaires, that'd be the end of it. So I the Pattinson thing I don't see, but from what I understand, his acting is very, very good in this film.
Don't give a shit.
That's what I've heard.
Yep. Don't care. He's got a weird look to me. I know the Twilight thing. He's a guy who always looks like he has permanent fangs. It's just a weird smile where he's got fangs, and I'm like, man, that fucking Twilight shit ended years ago. You still have that smile. I heard a rumor that Michael Keaton was coming back to play Batman. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I've heard that going forward after the Pattinson thing, Michael Keaton sort of stepping into what Ben Affleck was going to be doing in the extended universe, and he's just Batman, the first superhero going forward.
Right, and there's I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said playing old man Batman.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, there's that. I'm sure you're familiar with, and one of our producers, Giorgio, for sure is. There was the old. Not old, I guess. I think it was in the 90s, the comic series where Batman got old and he was training his replacement and all that bullshit. And they actually made a cartoon about it at some point.
Yeah,
as well.
Batman Beyond.
Batman Beyond, that's it, yeah. That was a great, I mean, I never watched the cartoon, but the comics were really fucking good from that. So the question is, who's the next guy? Who are they going to pick to be the fucking 22-year-old or whatever the fuck it is, right?
Well, it's going to be Pattinson for a while, obviously, unless that movie tanks, but...
No. That's a different spinoff. Like this would be Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne, and he's now what, in his late 50s, I think, when that started. So he's in his late 50s and he is still doing intel stuff. He's a little bit off the grid, but he's obviously can't do what he used to do. And then he, just by chance, I'm not going to spoil it for everybody in case they actually make the series or the movies, but he actually runs into this kid that ends up becoming the Batman over time, right?
Gotcha.
So I don't know who you cast for that. Maybe it's
got to go trans.
It can't be who are the really, really good standout young actors right now that could do action shit? Because I'm not seeing them.
You have to go trans now in Hollywood. So no matter what, they're gonna have to put the first trans superhero in there. That's gonna be a thing. That's gonna come down the pipeline where they're like, oh, who's it gonna be? We should throw a trans in there. So it might be something off, like super off the deep end, where you're like, all right, shit, fuck, I guess that's what it is.
It's got to be somebody who's
a Chinese Batman.
like Tom Holland was perfect for Spider-Man. He's unassuming. He's got the quick voice. He's nervous. Kind of like Michael Cera back in the day, that same kind of presence.
He's just playing himself.
But he's also a really good looking kid, great actor, and he's pretty athletic, right? You got to find somebody like that, but the DC version, which is dark.
Yeah, I look for the
and 20... they probably will choose a person of color for this, you would think, in today's world, right?
Who fucking knows? Me personally, like, you know, used to have teen movies and like teen soap opera, you know, dramas and all that shit, like One Tree Hill and things like that. They don't have any of those sexy, fun things anymore. I mean, Netflix, I guess, has Outer Banks. So maybe one of those kids, they'll put a little Batman costume on.
I wonder,
on
what about John Boyega from Star Wars? Boy, he's 28 now, so that might be a little long in the tooth to play this particular character, but he's a really good actor.
He's bitched about Star Wars so much openly that I don't know if he's going to be able to get cast in a
lot
of shit.
Is he making a name for himself as a dick?
Yes. Well, just to be talking shit about Star Wars, like he's said, you know, a million times, they gave him nothing to work with in Star Wars and all this other shit. And it's like,
nothing
hey,
to
man,
work with. It's fucking Star Wars.
Exactly.
Bro.
That's somebody else's gig. What about Star Wars? Are you a Star Wars guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. Nick Jonas is another guy that could play that young Batman role, by the way. He's a pretty good actor. Have you seen The Kingdom or whatever the fuck it is?
Talking about the Jonas Brothers?
Yeah.
Ugh,
have you watched? Go watch an episode of The Kingdom. Watch him act and then get back to me.
I won't. I want the bonus Jonas and things. He doesn't get enough credit. He's
I don't even know who that is.
Beautiful little twink. And you know, he doesn't get enough coverage. Let's throw the bonus Jonas in there.
I hope it's not Jaden Smith.
No, it's not Jaden Smith. Well, you never know. Shit. He was the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a child then, but this is like I'll have to look it up and see what this character's age is. I think it was like 20 or something like that.
Because you know what's going to happen with Letterkenny one day is you know, you guys will be 10 years off the air, and then they'll remake it with other people who look similar to you or a different cast.
No, they're already like, I think there's a French version in the works.
That's really funny.
Is there really
French
everybody's
Canada? And so yeah, they've already started like finding our doppelgangers of different ethnic origins as we go international.
Oh shit. Who's the creators? Who got the creator credit on this show?
Jared and Jacob.
So Jared, they get the money for that, by the way. So no matter how many times they remake that shit around the world, that cheddar comes to them. Even shit, who did the original Office?
Gervais.
That was Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant.
Yes, and I remember Ricky Gervais doing an interview saying, "I hope the American version of The Office goes for 50 years because I get an EP credit and I get the creator credit, and all of that money goes right into my wallet." And I think they ended up remaking The Office in like 40 different countries.
Yeah, it's one of the most remade shows, I think.
I mean, that's how Rogan got rich. Fucking Fear Factor got made and remade in every single place. And I think in his third or fourth season, he ended up getting creator credit.
Yeah, he got an EP credit on that.
That was the best decision he ever made, is to forego cash for that EP credit, because he made so much fucking money off that shit.
As if Rogan
he's still
needs
making
more
money.
Money
on it.
Yeah, he's still making money off Fear Factors. They just remade it for MTV.
Ludacris hosting it now?
Yeah. Luda. Is hosting that shit right now. That's what they're doing with anything. Anything successful, they'll just remake it. Would you ever go over to France and be in that version?
Oh, you want to do a cameo, right?
Yeah.
I'd have to learn French, but if the money's right.
Shit. That'd be a blast to go over to France and do that. Have you been to France?
I have not. I haven't crossed the pond yet for any reason.
Man, when COVID's over, dude, you can really eat and drink your face off over there, and it is a blast. Right now, you know, with all the shit that's going on, it probably wouldn't be worth it, but hopefully later on down the road it will be.
My gal's actually got her Irish passport, so we do have plans of heading to Ireland at some point when this is all fixed. But
It looks great, doesn't it? I've never been to Ireland, but it looks awesome, man. I like shit. I'd love just to go over there and sit in a pub and all that shit. People say the same thing all the time. They're like, "Oh, it's super cold or the weather's bad." I was like, "I don't give a fuck. I'll be sitting in a bar anyways."
Yeah. What am I going to be standing outside?
Yeah,
complaining
about
the cold.
It'd be colder than Canada. So.
No, that's true. Yeah, you live up in what do they call it, Middle Earth or some shit?
Yeah. Where are you at? Where do you live at up there?
I'm in Toronto.
Oh, you're in Toronto, the six. How big is Drake really up there? Is the hype real? Like, Drake owns the city?
I mean, maybe for the younger generation, like I met Drake when he was still on Degrassi. I used to do.
You met Wheelchair Jimmy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to do loop groups for Degrassi. So I'd come in and record like background chatter and extra voiceover that they needed for episodic sounds. So I'd be like the voice on the loudspeaker at a hockey game or an off-camera cop or a teacher in the hallway, like just weird stuff like that. And sometimes as I'd be leaving, the regular cast would be coming in to do ADR. So I met Drake back before he was Drake one day, just coming out of a recording session. And yeah, so for me, he was like, you know, oh, it's cool. The kid from Degrassi grew up and made something of himself. Good for him. But, you know, like I'm proud of the guy. But you know, for most of us, it's not like his word is, you know, law. Like a lot of us really annoyed with him branding us the six. We didn't want that. But we got to live with it now. Like some of us want him to just sit down and enjoy the basketball game. But
it's so funny you said that, dude, because we're in America, we just think, oh yeah, it's the six, it's Toronto. No. You know, he's at the Raptors games.
No,
up, hugging people.
The worst acting that Drake's ever done, and this is saying something, was when he threw a little fit after KD got hurt.
Yeah.
In the finals. He was like, oh no, man, no, come on. Like, come on, shut up, dude. Your team just won the finals. Shut up.
Yeah, they
like
won the championship.
Him going down just won you the championship. Get out of here.
Wheelchair Jimmy, dude.
Yeah, I'm just a big fan of wheelchairs. That's why I like Degrassi.
Same. That's great. Degrassi was one of those shows, man. That was one of the first ones to hit America. That was like, holy shit.
Yeah. And that was like, because it started out here as the kids of Degrassi Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became Degrassi Junior High and then Degrassi High. And then it ended. And so that was already like a historically long run. Where we watched some of the characters from like, you know, middle school all the way to graduating high school. And then it came back as Degrassi, The Next Generation. And then that show ran for like almost two full turnovers.
Yeah, they've been milking the shit out of Degrassi. I know Kevin Smith is a gigantic fan of Degrassi. I think he went up.
He guest starred in two episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, he guest starred in a couple episodes, and yeah, I missed the Wheelchair Jimmy days. I caught the iteration after that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. I love the Kroll show when they would do Wheels Ontario.
Yeah.
the fake Degrassi show they would do on that. Kent has got a pretty good sense of humor for when people make fun of our shit. Like, we love all the Canada episodes of South Park up here. Wheels Ontario, that's one that we quote sometimes on the Letterkenny set. We have good laughs about that one.
That's funny, man. Shit, dude. I haven't seen that in years. The fact that you just busted out, you really are like a gigantic comedy fan.
Oh yeah, I mean, you gotta be, right? You don't make this your life if you just kind of like it.
Yeah, for real. It's just so strange to me because literally besides your show, I can't name one other comedy I think I'm watching right now. Schitt's Creek, but that's, I'm fucking late to the game on that, and I'm fine with admitting that, where I'm just like, all right, sweet. I'm catching that after, I mean, they're over here. Like, that's done here, so I'm catching that late. But other than that, they just don't really do that shit down here. It's a lot of three-camera sitcoms down here where it's like, you know, forced canned laughter and all of that shit, like Last Man Standing or things like that, which is, you know, fine if you've got kids and everything. But I like the darker shit. Like, I'll still pop on Eric Andre's show to get real dark, you know?
Yeah.
Because he
shaved his hair for this last season.
Yeah. So was that for this season? Like, I don't know what the bold choice was. I don't know if Rosario Dawson broke up with him and started dating Cory Booker. Like, why he shaved his head, but he went all in this year, and it's been super fucking dark, and I've loved it.
Yeah, it's every time I see him, it's like, is that Eric?
Yeah, I had dinner.
I look like Jeff Ross.
Yeah, exactly. I had dinner with that guy one night, and he was totally normal and tame and calm, and I was like, man, how do you do all this fucked up shit like all the time? Like, I thought he would have been checked out, but decent dude, man. And I still love that show, but that's kind of it. Cause I mean, down here, Comedy Central is no longer doing live action shows. They switched to all animation. starting January 1st. Adult Swim has mostly veered toward animation, and FX said, you know, hey man, we don't know how much comedy we're going to do here anymore either.
I mean, so. Even the studios, the major studios are like, you talked about Wonder Woman 1984. They spent what, $200 some million on that, and they just sent it to HBO Max.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
straight to HBO. Yeah. I don't know where it's headed, but you're in great shape, man. You're on one of the funniest shows on television.
Yeah. You're already in the model and have already monetized in the model that everybody has to move to now. So you guys are fucking set.
Yeah. You're gold, man. And your show's going to go for fucking 10, 12 mm-hmm. more seasons. So congratulations.
I hope so. I want to buy a house.
Yeah. Well, you're in Toronto. Your fucking housing prices there are ridiculous.
Everything's ridiculous.
How much is like a 2,000 square foot house there in Toronto?
I'm not sure. We were looking at houses yesterday, and because it's just a hobby of my gal, she likes to pull out the real estate listings, and it's like every other home we looked at was like $2.8 million. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for like a 4 or 3 bedroom family home. Like,
I did a gig in Vancouver a few years back, and the guy, my cab driver from the airport to the thing, was asking me to eat at these restaurants. What's like the Canadian version of like Perkins?
Smitty's.
Yes. Yeah, it's like a two meat, two vegetable, or meat and two vegetable kind of restaurant. Yeah.
So he owned two of them, and as he was driving me to the hotel, he was like, "Oh, make sure to stop in Smitty's or whatever, and get some food." And I was like, "Oh, is it great?" And he's like, "Well, I own them." And I was like, "Oh shit, you own him?"
Not really the question I asked.
Yeah, and he didn't say whether the food was good.
That's
or not.
A no. Yeah,
that's a hard no on that.
That's a no for me, dog. But I go, "Hey man, what's the story then? Why are you driving a cab if you own two full restaurants?" And he was like, "Well, I got to pay for my mortgage." And I was like, "How much is your mortgage?" And then he drove me by his house because it was on the way, and he was, "Oh, see that house in the corner there?" And I was like, "Yeah." It probably looked maybe between 1,600 and 1,800 square feet. And he said, and this was 5 years ago, he said the house was $1.8 million. And I was like, "Fuck, are you kidding me?"
Wow.
And he said all of the houses are like that there. What's the story behind that?
Well, I mean, people wanted to live in the areas driving the prices up, and also people buying properties solely for use as Airbnb and short-term rental units has caused a chokehold on the market. And a lot of foreign investors hiding money from their governments in foreign real estate.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Here, it's mostly Chinese investors that are buying. Like,
all of New York is empty. Yeah.
I lived in Oakland, California, 4 years ago? And I lived there for about 6 or 8 years. I don't remember. 7 years? 7 years. And my neighborhood, when I first moved in, relatively normal, then the housing market started to get weird. And all of a sudden, any house that became vacant would get purchased immediately, 20% over market, and no one would live there. It was just like an empty house on the block now that someone owned. We were like trying to figure out who it was, and it was all these Chinese holding companies.
Yeah, you'll never see them. It'll be an LLC. I remember asking when I was in New York, because I was in an empty high rise, like shooting this series for MTV, and we would walk in. I didn't see anybody but the doorman every single day, and I was like, "Hey, man, forgive me. Is it because I'm working weird hours?" And he goes, "No, there's only about 4 people that live in this high rise." And I was like, "Who are the rest of them?" And he goes, "I don't even know their names. It's just an LLC with like numbers. So it's like 00154873. They never see the real buyers, nothing. Yeah, it's a weird sitch. And I always wondered about Canada because the pricing of the houses, the housing market is so fucking crazy. I was like, who can afford that?
Yeah, they've been passing laws. I know out in BC, they've been passing laws forcing sale if unoccupied and stuff like that to ease up on that, or having lots of penalty charges for owning properties that no one lives in and forcing the market up. So they're trying whatever they can to ease the problem without outright banning sales to LLCs.
Shit. Well, good luck with that, man. We hope you get a house soon here. This is the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to? And it can be a man or a woman, by the way.
drinking bro of the week. Who's helped me get to where I am today? Anyway, let's say Jared Kisa. Without him and his wonderful TV show, I wouldn't own property that I own. So Kisa, first time I ever met him, he handed me a bottle of Jameson and a mixed CD of Letterkenny songs and said, "Welcome to Letterkenny." And I said, "You and I are going to get along just fine."
That's awesome. Well, look, man, it is one of our favorite shows. Please check it out. I believe it's on Hulu here now. And you can check out, obviously, the original episodes on YouTube. We greatly appreciate you being here. Tell everyone where they can find you on social media.
I'm the only K. Trevor Wilson on the internet. So at K. Trevor Wilson on Twitter and Instagram. And ktrevorwilson.com for shows when I'm allowed to have shows again. And below the collar, .com/ktrevorwilson, if you want to buy t-shirts with my pretty face on it.
There you go. A little merch for K. Trevor Wilson. Again, dude, an absolute joy, dude. Letterkenny is one of the best shows on television. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah. Anytime, for K. Trevor Wilson, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.